My name is Garland Robinson. When we talk about choices in life, we're talking about something that is so common to every one of us. We have more choices today than we've ever had in our entire life. Really, all of life is a choice, isn't it? And we hear a lot about the wrong choices, the bad choices that people make. Our news is filled with bad things that happen, crimes that are committed, evil choices that people make to interfere with their lives and commit crimes and assaults and murders against other people. Often young people are called upon to make choices, and many times they're not prepared to make the right choice because they've never been taught. They've never been trained. They've never been shown, really, what is morally right, what is morally bankrupt, and they end up just making an evil, wrong choice, and they think that is what they need to do. Well, some people don't know what to choose. They don't really know right from wrong. When Israel had come out of the Egyptian bondage and through the wilderness wandering, we find a statement made in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. When Joshua stands before the people and he says, basically, if you want to go back and serve the gods of idolatry that your ancient fathers served, if you want to go back to your old homeland, fine. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Tell you what I'm going to direct my family to do. And that is, we are going to serve God. Well, what about you? What are we going to do now? Well, there are many things in life, certainly, we need to refuse. There are choices we need to make that are in the negative side that we would not want to do. For example, we ought to refuse evil. In Genesis chapter 39, we find an example of Joseph when he had been sold into slavery. He was in Potiphar's house, and he refused to commit adultery, fornication, with Potiphar's wife. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39 and verse 9. We ought to refuse fables. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, we read, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, we're told to refuse foolish questions. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Well, what would that be? Well, I don't know what all the foolish questions might be, but it may be something like this. What did Jesus write on the ground in John chapter 8? Well, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. So why would we argue and fuss and ponder about what it was the Lord wrote on the ground? John 3 says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us why he came by night, so it'd be foolish for us to spend any time and research and trying to figure out why he came by night. So maybe things like that. We need to refuse worldly honors. You know, Moses did. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, the Bible says that when he grew up, that is, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We need to be more concerned with heavenly honors rather than worldly honors. We need to refuse the chief seats, that is, prominence, prestige, and power. Luke chapter 14, verse 7, the Bible says how the Lord observed people and how they would choose out the best positions or the seats of notoriety. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. We need to refuse our own way because it's not right. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So I've got to choose the Lord's way, not my way. We need to refuse all that glitters in this world. Here I'm thinking about perhaps the example of Abraham and Lot. Genesis 13, verse 10 said that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, and he saw the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how well that was. It glittered for him. And look at yet the tragedy that it resulted in. So there's obviously all kinds of things we need to refuse in this world. Well, not only do we refuse, there are things we need to choose. Things we deliberately need to choose. We need to choose to serve God. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens and observed all their superstitions, he observed their idolatry, he told them there's one God that you need to serve Him. We need to obviously choose the Lord. We need to choose Christ. Because He is the mediator. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He's the Redeemer. He is the one that washes our sins away in His own blood. We need to choose instruction. That is, that we might be taught in the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 33 says, "Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not." We read in Proverbs 13, verse 18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." So we need to learn the ways of the Lord. We need to covet. We need to desire. We need to choose that we might be instructed in those things that have to do with spiritual life. We need to choose reproof. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." You know, we're in a society now that people don't like to say something's wrong or this is not right. We live in a time where people's idea is, well, you can't tell anybody that they're wrong. One opinion is just as good as another. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not according to the Scriptures. There are definite black and whites. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And we need to choose to be rebuffed, to be reproved when we do that which is bad. And that's what the Bible says. If you refuse to receive reproof, then you're doing wrong. That's an error. We also need to choose to obey God. In Exodus 16, verse 28, you remember how the Lord said unto Moses, "How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws?" And people say that, don't they? Well, why won't we do what God said? There are people who refuse to obey, and yet that's not right. We need to choose to obey God. We need to choose to serve God. We read in Micah, the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8, "He hath showed thee what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God." That's what we're to choose. Choose to serve God. We need to choose to fear God. In Proverbs 1 and verse 29, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the whole matter. Let us hear the full conclusion. Choose God and fear Him." We need to choose a good name. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment." Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Oh, what a good name is. Friend, don't tarnish your good name. Be careful not to tarnish the name of your family, your loved ones, your parents, your children. We need to choose God's people. Hebrews 11:25. Again, Moses chose to be with the people of God. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We need to choose the way of faithfulness. In Psalm 119, verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid up before me." So we choose what is faithful and what is right before God. We need to choose life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Friend, we need to choose life. And so why do we choose all these things? Because if we don't, we're going to be reprobate. Romans 1 and verse 28 speaks of those who did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And what happened? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. We need to choose what is right and good in order that we might avoid strife. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. We choose what is right in order to be wise. Proverbs 8 verse 33. The Lord says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So what do? When we listen to what God's Word says, when we pay attention to God, when we're concerned with spiritual matters and make the right choices, that is the wise thing. Now, the world says that's dumb. But I'm sorry. That's dumb to follow the things of the world. It's wise to follow righteousness. And we do what's right in order to be helped. In Psalm 119, verse 173, let thine hand help me. Why? For I have chosen thy precepts. Precepts is another way of saying, I've chosen the Lord's way, God's word, his commandments. So when we do that, the Lord will help us. We read also in Hebrews 12 in verse 25 that we choose what is good and right in order to escape the penalty for our sins. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. If we want to escape the penalty of our sins, we want to escape damnation and eternal existence in hell, then we have to choose what is right and what is good. We do that in order to be rewarded. Again, we think back to the time that Moses left the Egyptians. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin that was only for a little while, just a little while. And he saw there was going to be a much greater reward by choosing what was good. We need to choose what is right because that's the only way to heaven. Friend, won't you choose what is right, what God's will is for you, that you might be rewarded, that you might hear the Lord say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In order to choose what is right, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that He died for you, that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Repenting of all of your sins, turning from them, changing your mind about it, leading to a change of action in life, you do an about face, you walk a new life. And when you've done that, you're ready to confess faith in Jesus, that He is the Son of God. Then you can be baptized into water for the forgiveness of your sins, that the precious blood of Jesus can cleanse you, wash you from your sins. Then you can walk a new life. Romans 6 and verse 4. You're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Won't you do that? That is the will of God. Refuse the evil, choose the good. Your speaker has been Garland Robinson.